Good evening, everybody. Happy New Year. It's our first meeting of 2024, and at 5:30 on January 11th, the Central Services Advisory Board meeting is now called to order. You stand for the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I believe there's four of us to have to be sworn in tonight.
That is correct.
We've been re-upped. So
yes.
Jim's not here, so Chip and...
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Sester isn't here? That's fine, we can swear him in.
You want a copy of it?
Yes, if you all will just stand right there. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the assistant deputy clerk if she wouldn't mind reading the oath of office to you all. At that point, at the end of it, if you will just say I do or I will. And so if you would please raise your right hand. And
I, Ken Cox, Ryan McConaughey, and Chip Witt, citizens of the United States of America and residents of the town of Ponce Inlet, being appointed to the Essential Services Advisory Board of the town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, do hereby solemnly swear or affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States of America, the laws of the state of Florida, and the charter and ordinances of the town of Ponce Inlet, that I am duly qualified to serve under the Constitution of the state of Florida and the charter of the town of Ponce Inlet, and that I will well and faithfully perform the duties of the board on which I am about to enter. So help me God.
I will.
I do.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Is that okay with Mr. Sinster?
Congratulations. And if you would please make sure that they are signed and returned at the end of the meeting to the clerks. Great. And I believe we need to do a roll call.
Well.
And now I see it's that time of year where we elect or re-elect, however we choose, a new chair to vice chair. I'm sorry. I always miss that roll call.
Roll call,
please. Can you take roll call, please?
Mr. Cox?
I am here.
Mr. McConaughey?
Here.
Mr. Pulver? Ms. Wurst?
Here.
Ms. Valerian?
Here.
Mr. Witt?
Here.
Mr. Sester?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, and thank you. So now we need to make a motion for a elect the chair and a vice chair. Does anybody have any motions?
Somebody? Make a motion to support Ken to continue as the chair.
I'll second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And now we need a vice chair. Any motions?
I'll make a motion that Ms. Valerian remain as the vice chair.
Thanks, Ryan.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Congratulations. Thank you. And thank you.
Yep.
So now the adoption of the agenda. Does anybody have any changes to the agenda for tonight? I will make a motion that we adopt as presented. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We don't have any correspondence or communication. Okay, approval of the meeting minutes from November 2nd. Does anybody have any changes? Then I will move that we adopt as presented. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right, we are moving right along here. Ms. Shibano.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
I have placed in front of you a tentative meeting dates for next year. As you can see, the next meeting will be March 7th. That will be your annual board meeting. So at this time, we'll also have your annual training at that board meeting. So if you're unable to make that board meeting, please let us know in advance. We can try to squeeze you in a different meeting to get the training you need with another board. Okay? We did move July 4th meeting to July 11th, being so close to 4th of July. There may be people out that week, so we brought it down a week if that's going to be a problem for anybody, please let us know, or if you're opposed to it, if I could hear it now. Otherwise, these are kind of tentative unless something else comes up major in between time. The next one after that will be October 3rd, and then again on January 9th of 2025. So if you can tentatively mark your calendars for those dates, I would greatly appreciate it.
Anybody have any concerns, dates? Okay, then I'll move that we accept the tentative schedule as presented. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, Mr. Griffith, we're going to go into new business.
Fred Griffith, Public Works Director. I want to welcome all the current and new Essential Service Board members. First, I want to just recognize Dan Scales. I went off to Boy Scout camp for a couple weeks, and we were kind of a short timeline to put this memo together. And I had all the rough information, but he made it look really, really nice. I want to thank Dan for that, because I needed to go out to camp. We've got it very well organized, if you look, and I don't want to go in a lot of detail, but if you have questions, I'll certainly answer them. We have two funding categories, one the water system category, the other one the general services category, and we've got them in order of priorities, as we see them, at least at this point in time. I spent a considerable amount of time trying to get reasonable cost estimates. A lot of these projects were projects that we wanted to do this year, but really didn't have the money to do on our current fiscal year. And so we obviously were able to include them in our future plans. And I will say briefly that the projects this year, we are really implementing all the funding that was appropriated to our budget. And we're currently doing a really good job getting everything accomplished that we did get budgeted. The first one is the additional employee that you approved last year, but we weren't able to find money for this year, so we're still asking for that second person to be funded. And then paving plan, some of our streets are showing there are really a lot of wear and tear. There's about 12 miles and about $75,000 per mile to overlay the street, so that's the second item. I don't know if you want me to go through every item, but the swales and... We're going to be cleaning the pipes in about 3 weeks. And, for example, when we do maintenance on storm drains, you don't know what you're going to find. We did uncover 6 or 7 pipes that were buried last year, and so our drainage system is working much, much better than it was last year. However, there are some swales that I'd like to have constructed along some of the city streets to get the water off the streets, because two things kill roads: trucks, heavy trucks, vehicles, and water. Okay, so if you can keep the heavy trucks off the road and keep the water off the roads will last a lot longer. So that's what that item is. The museum obviously needs some wood deterioration and painting needs to be done. We're back asking for the parking lot expansion, and we really don't have place to park our vehicles at the yard safely, so they're out of the way of our large vehicles that we move around. The next one is... the locker room area. I'd like to convert one of the bays to a locker room area so they actually have a place to change their clothes and get dressed. Every town I've worked for before has always had a locker room.
Can I interrupt? I'm new to the board, so I'm not exactly sure how this works, but I have several questions on each item. So
okay.
Should I be asking you?
Do you want me to stop now and you can just ask questions? That's fine.
Yeah, I was considering the same thing. I was going to let you get through your thing and then we can go back and ask, but... And you're right, it's a very informative memo you and Chief Scales put together.
It'd be better to ask questions as you go one item at a time, or?
And that's fine.
Okay.
So you want to start with the...
Well, like on the very first one, on the staffing request, I'm wondering how much time is allocated currently for the... Oh, do I have to push?
You're good.
Oh, okay. Oh, you have to look
at the light.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So currently, how much time is currently allocated by the current staff for the valves and the fire hydrants?
Very, very little amounts of time. is allocated towards that item right now.
Okay, so on under the water fund, number one item, that's just for the materials and the supplies. And then the staffing request is to actually take care of the
We just don't have adequate enough people to take care of all the maintenance items as well as doing the adequate valve exercising that I think needs to be done and hydrant checking and things like that. We have a very too much work to do and not enough people to cover it.
And I was wondering about are there any contractor services available for that type of work?
Well, we are hiring a contractor right now to exercise all the valves. However, there's maintenance that needs to be done periodically. And honestly, one time a year probably isn't adequate. Now, if you have a problem, you need to go out there and fix it. And like I said, if you don't have two people dedicated to take care of your water system, you're really short, in my opinion. Reading the meters, replacing meters that fail. We've had 47 meters had to be replaced this year, for example, and trying to schedule all that work around all the other duties is difficult.
Oh, so this staffing position would also be taking care of the meters?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. On here, I just see maintenance work for isolation valves and fire hydrants, but they would also be taking care of reading meters?
Yes.
And then, so how's the reading the meters getting done currently?
With the people we have.
And just having to allocate my priorities.
Yeah, they're jumping from one job to another.
So how much is currently spent with the contractor?
We are currently hiring a contractor for, I think, $35,000 to exercise all the valves in the town.
So then...
And then we're also hiring a contractor also to maintain the fire hydrants. So a little more of the money than that. I don't have the numbers in my head.
So you just feel like... So currently your budget calls for the $35,000 for the contractor... But you'd like to take that off and replace it with a full-time employee.
Okay.
I'm just asking, is that what you're...
Well, let me just say this. At times where there's some work doesn't get done, okay, and it just gets put off, okay? In my opinion, the valve exercising is something that's been neglected to a certain degree, okay? As well as the hydrant maintenance has been neglected. It could have had more attention applied to it. If we can get more people, we'll be able to dedicate people to do that.
Okay. Well, no, I'm just trying to understand. So with the current contract, the amount that's in the budget currently for this year for the contractor, is that going in because that's under $50,000, it's not being approved?
We took it out of the contractor budget. For R&R maintenance.
So most likely that will not continue forward if you had a full-time position?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just trying to understand that better.
And Mr. Griffiths, this is a budgeted item you presented last year for this current budget, and we pushed it off to be considered for the next budget.
That's correct.
And I assume when your list comes in, you'll... be considering a list of priorities as well of what are your top priorities of all these expenses.
Yes.
When it comes time for the next budget presentation.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Do you want me to continue?
Well, then on the next one, on the overlay and pavement of town streets, so you're proposing that every year that you would repave
a mile of streets.
A mile, whether it's 0.3 miles on one street or on Peninsula and 0.3 on Anchor
Basically,
Drive.
That's a minimum amount that you can get an overlay company to come in and adequately overlay streets.
That's why I was going to ask my next question. What's the minimum amount that...
That's basically... I've called professionals, okay? I've hired them in other cities. And that's basically the minimum amount. You can't come down here and do... effectively, cost-effectively, do a small amount of paving of streets, especially when you have 12 miles to do.
Is that 0.3 per section or 0.3 total?
I don't know. Where'd you get the 0.3 from?
I thought you just said 0.3.
It's 1 mile of the 12 miles.
All right, the
$25,000 for 1 mile.
Is the minimum?
Yes.
Okay, but you can separate that into different sections of the city.
Yeah, so basically a 12-year cycle, you could do the whole city in 12 years.
Okay.
That's simple math.
Are you asking if he could take 1 mile and say do a half mile here and a half mile there? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that's what she's asking. Can you take that mile and split it up?
So yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Is there a minimum of how much has to be done per section?
You can only do how long the street is, okay? Basically, I would identify certain streets, that amount of money each year, and then they would come in and we would accomplish that.
And I'm just curious, in your opinion, what areas are the highest priority that are needing replacement?
The highest priority, in my opinion, is South End of Peninsula Drive right now. Streets crumbling south of Inland Harbor Road. I would start South End of Peninsula and come up a mile. That would be the first year. That's what I would recommend we do. A lot of the residential streets don't have drainage issues, don't have high road truck traffic issues, but you can imagine the truck traffic come down Beach Street, making a left turn, or cutting off Inland Harbor off of Atlantic and coming down the South Peninsula. And the water, it's the lowest area, so that's where the water stands.
If I understand correctly also, Atlantic is not our responsibility.
Yeah, county north of Beach.
And how are you going to make that determination and where you're going to pave first? Is you just going to get with your staff? Is there going to be a survey? Or how are you going to determine that?
Well, I've always said before, you don't have to hire a consultant when I'm the one that knows what to do. You don't have to hire a consultant to do a study to determine what needs to be done. I mean, I worked for the highway department in Ohio. Mm-hmm. I started out in transportation engineering. So I don't need to hire an engineer to tell me what streets need to be paved. It'll be pretty obvious if you just survey the streets.
Yeah, I agree with that. No one's questioning your decision. I'm just curious how you go about making that decision.
I would make it on visual inspection. Okay.
I have one quick question. You said Peninsula would be the south end of Peninsula. Now, this may be putting the cart in front of the horse, but if they're going to do that sidewalk project, would we pave the street and then tear it up to do the sidewalk project?
We'll make those hard decisions when we have more information. You know, Chip, we don't want to we're not going to be overlaying a street that we know we're going to be ripping out in the next 2 to 3 years.
That was my question. I've seen it happen before, and I always go, why are they doing that?
Well, we're going to use some good judgment when we do that.
Because we also have that septic to sewer project that's going on, too.
Yeah, and I keep bringing that up with my superiors, so we'll need to consider that when we start overlaying street, if we can find the money to overlay streets.
And for funding, you're pursuing grants or some sort of tax to cover the expense for this particular request? Is that correct?
I'm not quite understanding your question.
At the end of your presentation in the document that was sent to us, it says you're going to consider looking at gas tax, grants, et cetera, to pay for it.
Uh-huh. I think Dan put that in there. Okay. I don't usually get into the funding mechanisms, but yes.
I guess where I was leading at was if the funding is there or additional funding or grants are there, then we could request to do more than just 1 mile.
Yeah, Dan would love to do more than the minimum. He's already mentioned that to me. Why don't we do $150,000?
Yeah, the thing with the road repaving, yes, there is some old gas tax, new gas tax funds that are restricted how you can use them. The problem is people are driving less, there's less gas tax to get, and it falls more into the general fund. So, yes, we're going to try and use as much of that as we can. Just understand that it's probably going to be hitting the general fund a little bit more than it normally does. So this number is not all coming from general fund. That's the total number. So gas tax monies and any other grants that we can possibly get will offset that number. So,
is March going to be our budget meeting? So by March, you'll be able to probably tell us if you had additional funding or what's come out of general funding. Is that correct?
I'm sorry.
That's okay. In March, during our budget meeting, you'll have a better idea of what the funding source would be?
Yeah, and that's a great question. You know, the projects that you have before you tonight from all the departments are, I don't want to say our best guess, but our best estimation on what we want to do and how we want to do it. Mm-hmm. And the numbers are not as tight as they're going to be in March. So this really is an opportunity for you to see these projects first. We'll answer whatever questions we can tonight. We may not be able to get all of them tonight, but between now and March is a great opportunity for us to work with you on any questions or concerns or any other projects you want us to add to the list that we don't have on here. You can do that as well as if you want. So tonight really was kind of a broad overview of what we are presenting to you in March. We'll probably have some more detail, and based on your questions tonight, obviously we'll add that to our presentation in March.
And for the board members, Ms. Schiavone confirmed this with me, we're not voting on anything tonight. There's no motions made on this. It's strictly information preparing us for the March meeting.
I also wanted to mention the stormwater system. We've done a great job this past year, and there's not a lot of money needed to devote to stormwater next year. So hopefully we can spend some money on paving.
This list is pretty informative. Why don't we just go down the list? I mean, you can just repeat what's in it. We've all read the, so if you have any more questions, why don't we go down the list? You said you had a bunch of other questions?
Yeah, the next question I had, I didn't have anything on the stormwater. Stormwater. And it seems like that's going well, so I didn't have any questions on that. But my next question was on the museum wood repair and painting. And I assume, but let me ask the question just so I understand. So the proposed work would bring the building completely up to the status of maintenance only at that point? Or would there be anything else that would need to be done besides?
No, I think that includes, we have a lot of wood deterioration on the three buildings, and obviously they need to be painted. And you can't paint crumbling wood, okay? So there's, you know, we were hoping to paint them this year, but after looking at them and had professionals assess it, we need more money, really. If we really want to take care of those three buildings, we need to spend significant funds to repair the wood and paint them properly.
So there's a lot of siding that needs to be repaired.
Yes. Yeah, there certainly is.
And then this is for the town workers to repair, or is that would be contracted out?
That would be contracted out.
Okay. And my next question was on the parking lot expansion. Again, that would be contracted out?
Yes. We have a conceptual plan already prepared, and we'll have to have it, the zoning change modified slightly by our town council. And then if that gets done, then we could go ahead and expand or move the retention area out of the parking lot area and expand our parking lot. We have a lot at the corner of Beach and Peninsula.
So I was a little confused about, this is number 4 under your general fund. So is it number 4 in the priority? But then underneath there it says priority rank 12, survey and design. Can you explain? I don't quite understand what that means.
I think what Chief Scales put that in there because this was something that we pushed off to next year. They gave us a list of the priorities for the current budget year. So some of these we pushed off to next budget year.
Okay.
So in the current budget year, that when they did the presentation, the things that he asked for, that was what the priority was on his list.
So last year at the budget meeting, it was priority 12.
Correct.
This year it's priority 4.
And we can get you the conceptual plan that we've already had done of the parking lot.
Oh, that'd be great. Is there any possibility of splitting it into phases?
Can I just explain the priorities? That's a great question. Priority 12 was 12th of all the department priorities, fire department, police department, public works. It wasn't 12th of public works. There was, I think, probably 20 priorities in list order. This was number 12 of the total list.
Thank you. As I was saying, is there any possibility of phasing that or splitting that into two phases so we wouldn't have to spend all of it at once to be able to do this project?
I could tone it down some, okay? We could tone the parking lot expenses down if that's what we need to do. We could build part of it not all of it.
Do you think it would make it, doing half of it, would that be enough to at least get by for until you're able to get the
funding? Well, generally, that size of project, it's not as cost effective if you do it in two pieces. Because it's not that big a project anyway. For a company to come in there and do land clearing and grading and parking lot construction, an $80,000 project isn't very large. It really isn't.
I thought it was $120,000.
Okay, $120,000. Well, that includes the we have to do final design. We have to do final design work. That may be a little high.
Okay. And then the locker room. Do you have a preliminary plan that...
For what, please?
For the locker room?
Yeah, I actually had an architect look at it. I haven't... Obviously, I didn't hire him to design it yet, but we discussed conceptual ideas, where we'd put the wall, how we would reposition access to the bathrooms, and how it would function.
Okay, so, like, would this be a male and female separate spaces, or would it be private stalls?
I welcome you to come to our facility. We have a men's bathroom and a women's bathroom and a little hallway coming into our kitchen. We have our locker, our kitchen, our meeting area is all in one. We have our assistant have a little office off to the side, and we'll kind of make it easily accessible. It'll be very close to the bathrooms. We're not going to be building new bathrooms. We're just going to be building a locker room area that's accessible to the bathrooms areas.
So would the locker rooms have showers available? Or?
Yeah, we already have showers in the two bathrooms.
Okay. So, yeah, that would be interesting to go see sometime to see what, and you have that preliminary plan.
Come on over. The mayor was there today. We appreciate her visiting us. So.
Okay. Just give you a call and...
Yeah, give us a call.
Okay.
Or just drop by, to be honest with you.
Okay, I think that's where you left off, right?
Okay. Any questions? We talked about the boardwalk, and I think that's self-explanatory if you go and look at the boardwalk.
I did want to ask about that.
Sure.
Is there any chance of completely taking the boardwalk out and using a different material for the pathway rather than having a boardwalk that has to be maintained?
Well, it's an elevated boardwalk, and then you talk about handicap accessibility to all the doors of the buildings. And I think it would be not cost-effective because you've got the bathrooms elevated. If you've ever been out there during a storm, we've had telephone poles floating up the street. So, and the storm came right up to the bottom of the floor of the museum. So it's subject to flooding, okay? So... You have it all. It'd be so many ramps it wouldn't be worthwhile. You almost have to have a boardwalk, elevated walkway for those three buildings: the bathroom, the Casey College, and the museum.
Okay, I was just wondering about more of like if a paved sidewalk would be more cost effective. Then you don't really have to maintain it as much. And then I understand the flooding, but obviously the museum's not going to be open during flooding.
When I first came here, I didn't understand why the boardwalk was there, but after a few hurricanes, I realized why that boardwalk's there, okay, because the floodwaters come up. They come up pretty high. And whatever you're going to build, you're going to have a series of ramps. Each building would have to have a ramp.
Right.
And the viewing area for Hasty, you'd have to have a walkway for that, a boardwalk from in front of there, look in the windows. It's something we can look into.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, well, if it's flooding, it's going to constantly need maintaining. So, and obviously it's going to be closed when it's flooding. So I'm just trying to think of an alternative that wouldn't have to have future cost of maintenance. But
we can look at that.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've been to the museum, so I need to stop by and take a look at it myself.
Well, sidewalk replacements is just cracked sidewalks, just basically normal repair. The air conditioning unit's pretty self-explanatory. We just want to budget some money for air conditioners. We had a pretty good year last year. We had several of them failing on us.
I don't mean to nitpick, but I do have more questions, I guess, on the on the sidewalk replacements. I honestly don't know how it works. So I'm being educated here. So are these sidewalk replacements, are private citizens for the sidewalk in front of their homes responsible for those?
No, not in Ponce.
Whole town of
in Fort Orange, yes, in Ponce Inlet, no.
Okay, I did not know that. I don't have a sidewalk on my street, so I don't.
I understand.
I didn't know.
Yeah, good question.
Is that something that maybe the town should consider at some point?
I don't know. I don't have an opinion on that one.
Why is it that way? Because I've never heard of that before.
I don't have that opinion on that. I'm not sure how our council would look on that.
More probably a question for the town council, I guess. Yeah,
that would be a question for our town council. Yes, ma'am.
And Ms. Horst, I want to compliment you because these are great questions to begin with. One, two, we're not just going through the motions. These are the questions he's going to get from city council, so this is helping Mr. Griffiths as well. When
okay.
It's time for him to present, so don't feel bad about saying these
questions. I don't want to nitpick it.
If you call Port Orange, I live in Port Orange, you call Port Orange, tell me you have a busted sidewalk in front of your house, I say, we'll fix it. That's
right. Most towns are that way. So that's why I'm like,
I think some of it was trying to just maintain uniformity.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's all done the same, the town handles it, does it all the same from one sidewalk to the other. So I think that was the original.
Oh, that makes sense
idea
too.
Behind it.
But you think you could put ordinances into place that would make it so that you have to do it uniformitary or whatever the word is. But and then going on to the air conditioning systems. So. To be honest, I thought 10 years scheduled for replacement. Is that, yes. I mean, regardless of the shape of it or if it's working properly or?
Basically, we've got a maintenance agreement on the air conditioners. And when they fail, we have to replace them, we replace them.
Okay. So.
Generally speaking, employees don't like the, like air conditioning.
So you do have an annual maintenance program?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, we do.
In-house? You fix it in-house?
No.
No, it's all outside?
So at what point of repair is there a certain amount of money for that repair that you say, okay, we have to replace this?
We look on the air conditioning companies to advise us.
Okay, if it makes sense to repair it or not.
Because we don't have experts on staff.
I know that I found here, living this close to the ocean, my ACs don't last much more than 7 years.
Right.
And they rust out. Even the inside unit rusts out. And so it's just a harsh environment.
Are we good on exterior wall lights? Town hall, just replacement what we have.
Yeah, and again, I was going to ask, do you think that's something you would consider doing in phases? I just put LED lights in my upstairs, but I didn't do it in my downstairs yet.
I think we need to do it all at one time whenever we decide to do it. But right now, they need to be replaced.
And that'll be
We're
done.
We're planning on doing energy efficient lighting. Yes?
That'll be done by your guys, or do we contact?
We would contract that out.
Okay.
Steve's already got prices, and those numbers just weren't coming out of the air. We got real numbers for that.
So I know what I spent. To replace every single recess light in my house. And the LED lights were so bright that I had them turned down all the way. There was 5 different settings on them. And so there's so much lighting in here right now, but you put LEDs in here, it's going to make it look like an operating room. That's what my living room looked like when they first turned it on. So I'm just some advice on that. Since I just did that last week.
If you want to turn the page to fire hydrant and isolation valve repairs and replacements, I have a company coming in on the 24th to do an assessment on our hydrants and our valves. We know we have some valves that are not functioning properly. We have a valve that we know that's not working at all, and we have several hydrants that need to be repaired. And I'm suggesting this amount of money to cover, you know, the valves as well as, you know, if you think about it, we have 150 fire hydrants. We have 150 hydrant isolation valves, and we have 150 other valves. So we have 300 valves on our system, and we have 350 fire hydrants on our system. If we replace hydrants every 10 hydrants every year, we can get through it in 15 years. Several of these hydrants are much older than that, okay? So we're just going to take care of the ones that are in the worst condition, and eventually if we replace 10 hydrants a year, we'll be in better shape. So
What's the expected lifespan of a hydrant?
Excuse me?
What's the expected lifespan of the hydrant?
I don't know. Here in Florida,
and by
I would
the beach.
Say 20 to 25 years. That'd be my guess. This is an educated guess. Because we know they're rusting, and we paint them and try to take care of them, but they wear out.
So I was curious, how do you know that there's 7 fire hydrant isolation valves are inoperable?
Because our company last year went out and looked for them, and they couldn't find them. And the ones they found, some of them they couldn't turn. Okay? The only problem with that, the hydrant still works, okay? But if somebody runs over the hydrant, you can't shut off that pipeline that they busted. And then you have to shut off the street. We'd rather not shut off people's street. If we had an isolation valve next to the hydrant, we can shut the valve off and then fix the hydrant.
Thank you for explaining that. That was going to be my next question. Can you explain what that is? And then the 24 additional fire hydrant isolation valves need to be located to determine their current condition. So there's valves that you just don't know where they're at.
Nobody. This is what I inherited a little over, like I said, 15, 16 months ago. We had a company go out there try to find the valves and all the hydrants, and this is what they came back with. They couldn't find this many valves. Now they're probably under dirt, maybe under asphalt.
Or they don't exist.
Or maybe don't exist at all. I can't testify that they exist at all. And I certainly can't testify they work. But I got to find them first. And once again, I need staffing so I can get out there and look for them.
I understand. Thank you.
Automatic line flushers, it's kind of on the long end of the list we would love to have, because we do flush our system regularly, actually on a daily basis most of the time.
Does that cost the town the water cost to
do
that?
Yes, we have to buy the water. It's a cost of doing business.
Do you have any clue what that cost is?
Yes, I do.
And that it would save, by buying these, we'll save in...
I think it's going to save about half the amount that we flush, just because we can flush a smaller amount and not a large amount. Maybe we can more efficiently flush the lines. Currently, we're flushing about 5% of our water that we buy. Now, you can do the math on, you know, we buy 600,000 gallons of water in a day, 500 to 600,000 gallons of water a day. You can figure out what we buy it for, and you can figure out what that costs. I don't have that number in front of me. But it's a significant amount of money.
So for 5%, we're currently using 5% for flushing.
Yes.
You're saying if we get these automatic water line flushers, then we'll only be using 2.5%.
Like I said, this isn't all the flushers we need. You know what I'm saying? This is just kind of a notch into it.
Okay. This is a starting point.
It's a starting point. The next to the last one is just water repair. That came up at a recent budget meeting about we needing money set aside for water failure, pipe failures, and things like that. If you have to replace a couple hundred feet of water line, it gets expensive, especially when it's under the roadway. So that's what that is.
So is that not part of the repair and replace portion of the water budget that was presented?
I would say... Currently not. I mean, the budget numbers for the valves and the hydrants are separate from this. This is for replacement of the water lines, okay? And it may not be enough money. Most likely it won't be enough money, but at least we'll have some money set in there when something does break. And if it doesn't break this year, we can save it, hopefully carry it over to next year. And the last item is the, I realize this item probably can't get started this year, but complete replacement of our water meter system is going to cost about $750,000. I've consulted with people in the industry, suppliers of the water meter system. The water meter system that we should look forward to do installing in the future would be a drive-by radio read meter. Okay, we wouldn't have to have somebody walking out and touching all the meters. You'd have somebody driving down the street, down Peninsula, coming back Atlantic Avenue. Probably 95% of the meters would be read, and you don't have to spend, you know, all these man hours walking around reading the meters. That's the industry standard right now. At least that. If it's not a satellite reading the meters, it's drive down and back. And we don't want to go through expensive building an antenna. So, but it costs $750,000. My suggestion would be, if we can't start budgeting it this coming year, maybe the following year, you start setting aside $150,000 a year, and then after, you know, 3 or 4 years, then we buy the system. We invest in the system. Currently, right now, we only have about 47. We only had 47 meters fail last year, so which is less than, I think, about 3%. As I figured it, about 3%. So that's good. So we're not having a lot of water meter failures. The point is, when you do a water system replacement, you're going to replace the meters also. It's not cost effective to put radios on old meters.
I was wondering about the radio read systems. Are they waterproof?
Yes.
Okay.
They have to be.
Yeah, right.
They have to be.
And then how much time do you estimate that a worker would save a year?
Boy, you got a lot of great questions. I don't have that one. I can get you the man hours that we spend reading meters right now, but I don't have it right off the top of my head.
Okay. Significant. If it makes sense to do it.
Significant. How's that? Significant. We do it in cycles, and I can get you that number. If I can bring it to you in March, I'll do that.
I have a question about something you said about the funding. You said maybe we could budget 150 a year and move it to the next year's budget. Can that even be done? You can't do that? So you can budget part of it this year? Appropriate, okay.
That's kind of what I just, this is probably not a question for you, but when they reserve money like that, so is it actually money that's put into a savings account? How does that work?
Thank you, Dan.
What's your specific question regarding what the meter read system?
Carrying
over? Yeah. There's a process. Well, the items that Fred was talking about, the water meter, the valve, that's coming out of the water fund, and there's actually enterprise funds from the water fund for that. They're not general fund revenues. And when we redid the water rates this year, we established a infrastructure improvement plan, money just for that. So there's going to be money down the road in that budget for that type of exercise. This is kind of let you know what we're looking at down the road. It's not tax money. It's all enterprise fund money. With that being said, yes, we can roll over funds if there's projects that we don't complete in one fiscal year. There is a process to carry those funds forward into the next year, say for general fund and for enterprise fund projects. So if we do budget money this year for something, we can't get it done, we can roll that money forward and finish the next budget year. Does that answer your question?
No.
But
so
all right.
I'm looking at more of reserve funds.
Yes.
So what happens to those reserve funds? Where do they go?
So for the water fund, there is a reserve fund. It's just a fund. There's an accounting. There's an account that it sits in. It sits
in an actual account that's bearing interest.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Thank you, Dan.
Sure.
Does anybody have any more questions for Mr. Griffith on his report?
Thank you very much.
Do we have any public comments on this?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good job. Chief Blazier.
It's good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Jeff Glazier, Ponson Police Department. The police department really only has one capital project listed in front of you, and that's for our public safety vessel. On March 16th of 2022, the council approved the application and submittal of our $40,000 waterway assistance grant. On March 31st, this board reviewed and recommended the inclusion of the item in the 2022-23 budget. And then on June 17th of the same year, the town was awarded the grant. So it's a $40,000 grant, a 50% match from the town. So the numbers in front of you, as Chief Scales said, are very preliminary. This is only one vendor. This is a vendor called Fluid. They were the first one to submit the numbers. I'm still waiting for several others. But this kind of gives us an idea of what some of the numbers would look like. And then I'm also working with a woman named Jan Raymond, who works for the Florida Sheriff's Association, and she handles all the cooperative purchasing programs for them, which the local jurisdictions can piggyback on. Excuse me. And she has multiple vessel vendors that we can get estimates from. And then there's another company called the Maverick Group, which is down in Fort Pierce, Florida, and so I'm waiting on their numbers. Their preliminary numbers came in lower than these, but they're preliminary, and I didn't want to put them on a document yet. So I'm fairly confident that I can bring these numbers down if we were to move forward with a public safety vessel. One example of why I can bring the numbers down is if you look for the number for the staffing with two operators at $40,000. Well, if we only operated with one operator on the boat, that number's cut in half. So industry standard is usually putting two operators on. If it's not a busy day, if it's not a holiday weekend, I'm comfortable with putting one operator on a boat, and that saves us money automatically. So there are a lot of ways to bring these numbers down.
So my question is, so, and I apologize, I know last year that you really probably discussed this a lot more in detail, and I did not go back and read the minutes, but this boat would only be used on a part-time basis, obviously, so on holiday weekends, and how? What is the jurisdiction, I guess?
So, and I can provide you with the presentation, but Ponce Inlet actually has more square miles of water than we do of land, and so we go almost up to Don Lawton Bridge, almost to all the way into Rose Bay for US 1. We go all the way down past Disappearing Island and just about out to the end of the inlet, and that's all of ours. And so, and the question was the area?
Yes, and how often it would be used, and so would it be mainly to respond to emergencies?
No, it would really be proactive. My goal with these numbers, so if you look at the $40,000 number, that's about 41 deployments. So 41 12-hour deployments. Now, those deployments would be specifically on the busiest weekends, Memorial Day weekend, July 4th weekend, Labor Day weekend, any of the big holidays, and then probably 20 or 30 other good summer days. You know, right now there's not a lot of boats on the waterways, so more than likely December through February, there's not going to be a lot of deployment. We could probably do maintenance and get the boat ready for the spring and the summer season. But that would be our goal, is good summer days, busy days, and our holiday weekends.
Just to maintain order if there's any...
Yeah, that's correct. Again, in the...
people driving crazy.
Yeah, and I don't know how familiar you are with Disappearing Island. A lot of the residents here are really, they're not on our waterways, but it's kind of a free-for-all on a Saturday or a Friday or especially a holiday weekend. The challenge that we have in Ponce Inlet is that the people that are on our waterways patrolling is in this area is the Coast Guard and the FWC and Volusia County, and they just don't have a lot of resources. So, for instance, the Coast Guard, who's close by, and you'd think that, hey, they're the greatest resource, well, they control... or they have to patrol from Matanzas down to Cape Canaveral and 50 miles out to sea. That's their area of concern. And they offer one patrol a day for 8 hours. That's what they do. So the chances that they can respond or the chances that they're going to be where we need them are not great. FWC is starting to ramp up their resources a little bit more. They're starting to bring on more people under the water. And the same with Volusia County. So when we talked about it last year, it was really about convenience for us to respond to something if we wanted to, complaints that we get from citizens that we currently can't respond to. And those are really the two main things.
And where will the boat be kept?
So right now I'm working with, I, working with one group where I'd like to keep it out of the water on a lift, so that's immediately available for us, but we haven't finalized anything. But that would be the goal. The goal would not be to keep it on a trailer and then have to drive it down to the public boat ramp and drop it in. The goal would be to have it on a lift for free and then drop it in when we need it.
Okay, thank you for explaining.
I was going to ask about that because lifts are pretty expensive if you're renting them.
That would pretty much kill the budget.
Chief, I have a couple questions. The grant, if I understand it, expires if we don't use it this next budget year. Is that correct? So we have to.
Have the boat. I don't think we have to have the boat on hand. I think we have to have it specced out and purchased by August of this year.
Of this year?
That's correct.
Okay.
Well, the two operators, most likely, they'll be police officers. Will they be full-time police officers that are doing this part-time?
So I have two types of officers in the Ponce Inlet Police Department. I have full-time officers and I have reserve officers. My reserve officers are full-time, are police officers, but they don't work for us full-time. They have other full-time jobs, but they have full arrest powers. They don't get benefits. They just get paid by the hour. I can use either one. One would be cheaper than the other because my reserve officers don't get overtime.
I don't see anything in here for training.
The training would be free. It's either offered by FWC, Volusia County, or the Coast Guard. All three of those have offered us free training.
Okay.
And I would, and I wouldn't force all of my guys to be boat operators, but I would encourage them to be. It opens up different opportunities within the department.
The other thing that I see on here is the fire pump. With it being a very limited amount of time that it's on the water, the chances of it being available when there is a boat fire is probably limited. Pretty slim.
Yeah. I added that at the end before I put this together to make it a little bit more utilitarian. I mean, it really is a public safety vessel. I don't want it to be attached to the police department. In fact, I think I said in my last presentation, I would expect there to be more medical emergencies on the water than police emergencies. And so I would love to partner with the fire department and get them to become boat operators also, and then just have one on the boat at the same time so that they can respond if we're out there. I mean, it was, and Dan probably remembers this, just a few months ago they brought somebody in onto the public boat ramp and they were 30 miles out to sea and a woman was getting back up on her boat and she sliced her whole leg on the prop of the engine. And, that alone, we could have met them, a mile or two off, or we could have got to them a little bit quicker than they got to us. So just different things like that.
So, Chief, I want to go back to the staffing. So you're not asking for additional personnel. You're using existing personnel. And this $40,000, are you asking for $40,000 additional in your budget for that cost to pay their salary and overtime, or is that coming out of the existing numbers of salary in your budget?
Yeah, so that would be additional overtime. My overtime budget is about $40,000 to $45,000. So that would have to be additional for that. But again, that number is flexible depending on if we put one or two operators or if I have a reserve officer or a full-time officer on there. Yeah, it's a little bit difficult to dial down right now. But these numbers are, I try to make them as conservative or as high as I could just so that nobody is surprised. But I'm very confident that I can bring those down.
And that $94,000 that you quoted here, is that less the grant?
Could you repeat that?
The $94,000 total that you listed here on this page, you've also got the grant of $40,000. So is it actually $54,000, or is it $94,000 after the $40,000 for the grant?
It's $94,000 after the grant. Let me see here. Yeah, that's correct, because of the overtime.
Right, okay. So that would be the budget impact, basically.
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Any more questions for Chief Glazier?
I was just surprised that, the annual maintenance is only $1,000.
Thinking the same thing. I have a boat, and this is only a single engine. It's either 135 or 150 horsepower. $1,000 is probably a lot for maintenance for a year. I think we can get by with, a lot of our guys are going to do the things themselves. They're going to do the cleaning. They're going to do changing out
is
little
this
items.
Going to be, excuse me, Chief, is this going to be considered a commercial vessel, though?
No.
Public safety vessel. Oh. Falls under different rules under the Coast Guard regulations.
Oh, I did not know that. Thank you.
And the maintenance is also based on hours on the engine. So depending on how much patrol time it has, every 100 hours basically do a service.
It is. And I think, the town had a boat years ago. They had a cooperative group. They had Port Orange and Edgewater and South Daytona, and they bought a used boat, and it had tons of maintenance issues and engine issues, and it got to be extremely expensive, not to mention that they would leave it in Edgewater, and the people in Port Orange would get mad because they didn't have access to the boat. So that didn't work out, but I say that to say newer boats are under warranty, and I think it's a smarter decision, especially when you're putting a lot of salt water through them.
Anybody have anything else? Do we have any public comments for Chief Glazier on this issue? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Chief Scales.
Good evening. Dan Scales, Fire Chief, Public Safety Director. So what you have before you is an updated list for the next budget year's fire department-related items. Two of them are carryovers from last year that did not get funded. One is a new funding request. That's for fire apparatus acquisition. And the question may be, well, why didn't we see this last year? And that would be a very good question. The reality is, when you have to order these things 2 and 3 years out, last year wasn't the best time for us to ask for this piece of equipment, and further research says that we've got to start planning for it now. That doesn't mean that we're going to buy it next year, but we have to start moving towards a purchase date, and whatever date we pick is going to be 2 to 3 years past that before we get delivery. Additionally, the cost for these vehicles go up every year. I'll give you an example. This year alone, if you bought a truck last year, compared to this year, the engines alone with the EPA requirements increased the cost by $100,000. So this is, it's not cheap stuff. And the longer that you wait, you know, the more that they cost and the more wear and tear on the current equipment we have now. So we're bringing this toward for you tonight just for you to think about. This is something we'll talk more about in March. We'll have better numbers as far as actual costs. What you have here is basically worst-case scenario numbers for the cost of the vehicles. And we're also going to be looking at lease purchase options as far as you know, a 10-year lease purchase and how much money we can put down and things along those lines. So you'll be seeing this again in a few months. So if you have any specific questions about that, happy to discuss that.
I've got a few questions. I see you have a Quint down here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess in March things will be a little more detailed as far as I just want to ensure that we end up, if you end up going the Quint route or an aerial route, that there's funding in place for proper training.
Oh, absolutely.
So yep. Aerial device is a very dangerous piece of equipment, and I've seen too many places throw that in there and like, oh, it's just a fire truck. And the other question that I had was about the ISO rating. Have you contacted ISO about how that would affect the rating yet, or?
Yeah, you know, ISO is a funny thing. It will improve our rating, but they're not going to tell you by how much until they come in and do a full evaluation of your department. You know, they'll tell you how many points you could get towards that, but they also take into consideration proximity of other cities that have aerial devices. So we're not doing it just for ISO. That's just a bonus. Right. If we get some points, that's great.
Yeah, because in my experience, well, a 75-foot aerial, the most you're going to get is 75 points for the aerial. And they won't give you aerial and engine points at the same time. So you have to identify it as it's either an engine or an aerial. So you're either going to get one or the other. So in my experience, it seems like the ISO rating would really be kind of a wash in that regards. The other concern that I have with the aerial is the aerial will help other ISO ratings more so because we would be second due, so they would count us as an aerial device rather than a forward pumper. The other thing is most of the Quints that I'm familiar with max is 500 gallons of water. How does that affect the operation with second due companies and operating off the tank?
Not significantly. Our current truck I think has 750. You know, it's a difference, but and really 500 gallons is kind of a standard tank. That's what we kind of plan our operations on, as you know.
Yeah.
The additional water is just bonus. So
we've gone to, well, we before I left, we went to 750s
and I
everywhere, and some are 1,000.
750, the one you looked at?
Yeah,